CHP has lost an airborne traffic speed patrol officer. British Airways faces more strikes by cabin crews. And DOT wants to fine Continental Airlines $100,000. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, May 12th, 2010. An investigation is underway into the Saturday loss of a California Highway Patrol aircraft on speed patrol duty and the resulting death of the pilot. CHP says 39-year-old Officer Danny Benavides had just finished working one section of a roadway and was repositioning when the accident occurred, about 9:30 a.m. Pacific time in Imperial County. When dispatchers lost contact, they called search and rescue. The wreckage was finally located in a desert area near California Highway 78, around 4 p.m. Pacific. Unite, the union representing cabin crews at British Airways, staged strikes against the airline on consecutive weekends in March, resulting in travel disruptions. Now, after what the union calls an overwhelming rejection of the company's latest contract proposal, the union has authorized another 20 days of strike action by cabin crews over the next few weeks. If you're making travel plans, those days include May 18th through the 22nd and 24th through the 28th, May 30th through June 3rd, and June 5th through the 9th. Union officials warn, quote, "Passengers and investors alike will be dismayed that British Airways management rejected an approach by the union over the weekend after their offer had been comprehensively turned down by their own employees," unquote. The airline says it will deal with these strikes in a similar fashion to the last two. Quote, "We are confident that many crew will again ignore Unite's pointless strike call and support the efforts of the rest of the airline to keep our customers flying. We are speaking to a number of carriers about leasing in extra aircraft to support our short-haul schedule and also obtaining thousands of seats from other airlines to help our customers rebook if their original flight is canceled," unquote. The airline says it will release a revised schedule for Heathrow several days before the strike is set to begin. In the U.S., when an airline passenger files a complaint related to a disability, the carrier is required by DOT rules to report each issue to the agency, even multiple issues found in the same complaint. DOT charges that Continental Airlines has had a policy of recording only the most significant issue in each complaint and has proposed a $100,000 fine. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says, quote, "Protecting the rights of airline passengers with disabilities is one of our highest priorities, and we will continue to take enforcement action when our disability rules are violated," unquote. The airline will have 30 days from receipt of the DOT notice to file an official response. Up next on ANN, NTSB finds the probable cause was medical incapacitation. Mount Rainier National Park may get a ban or limits on sightseeing flights. And Santa Monica battles the FAA over changes that bring more noise. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 12th. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has issued a probable cause report on a 2008 crash involving a Cessna 310 that went down in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, killing its pilot. It's pretty rare to hear of an accident linked to medical incapacitation, but the board says that was the probable cause in this one. A witness on the ground reported seeing the plane in what looked and sounded like a wing-low, full-power descent, ending in impact with the ground. Investigators found all the pieces and no evidence of pre-crash mechanical failure, but they found lots of evidence of medical issues with the pilot. The 78-year-old had recently been hospitalized for congestive heart failure, and the cardiologist with whom he followed up told the board he had no idea at the time the guy was a pilot, but that he should not have been flying. His diagnoses had included a number of cardiovascular troubles, along with anemia and evidence of a prior heart attack. The pilot's last third-class medical had been issued way back in 2000. Forensic toxicology found no evidence of alcohol or any drugs. The NTSB has published the agenda for its Professionalism in Aviation Safety Forum, which will begin at 9 a.m. Eastern Time next Tuesday, chaired by NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman. The three-day forum is open to the public. Following Herzman's opening remarks in a keynote presentation, there will be 10 panels of invited representatives from industry, government agencies, labor, academia, and professional associations, addressing subjects relevant to developing and ensuring professionalism in pilots and air traffic controllers. Topics will include the roles of screening, selection, and training, responsibility for reinforcing standards for professionalism, communications and information sharing, and the role of regulation. There's still time for organizations and individuals to submit input for consideration as part of the forum's archived materials. Get details in the text version of this story, dated May 11th, at aero-news.net. The National Park Service and the FAA are working on a federally mandated plan that could limit or ban aerial sightseeing tours over Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State. While no specific limits have yet been discussed, both are options that could be proposed by the public. A federal law passed in 2000 put a moratorium on the number of sightseeing tours that could be flown over national parks, as well as the types of aircraft used for those tours, pending the formation of individual plans at each of the parks. The Seattle Times reports that there are currently 5 operators who offer aerial tours of the park, and combined, they fly about 113 tours over the park each year. By contrast, Grand Canyon National Park has thousands of sightseeing flights in its airspace every year. The low numbers at Rainier are due in part to the weather. The park reports that more than 90% of its visitors who responded to a survey said natural quiet is one of the park's key attributes. There are also reportedly some animals in the park, such as mountain goats, which are sensitive to noise. The city of Santa Monica, California, is miffed at the FAA for experimenting with new IFR departure procedures from the city's airport, which increase noise for city residents, without holding public hearings. The Santa Monica Mirror reports that in its official statement, the city says it, quote, will not accept such disregard of the city and its residents in the future. The city insists on the inclusion of the city and its residents in reviewing any proposed change before final departure procedures are decided, unquote. The 6-month test began in December to find solutions to the crowding caused by Santa Monica's proximity to LAX. Several of the new patterns being tested move a turn by general aviation aircraft from the coastline to a point over Penmar Golf Course, sending them over a residential neighborhood near the Santa Monica Pier. Still ahead, Hawker Beechcraft is hiring. A Florida airport wins an award for its new runway. And engineers are drop testing the F-35 before pilots get the chance. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, May 12th. I'm Paul Platt. If the recession isn't quite over yet, at least it looks like Hawker Beechcraft is preparing for that day. The company says it's looking for more than 100 new engineers to join the team, along with another 40 to 50 employees in the areas of operations and supply chain, beginning in the next 3 to 4 months. Rich Gillenlaw, Hawker Beechcraft's VP for Human Resources, adds that the company is, quote, exploring international markets very, very aggressively, unquote. The Wichita Eagle reports that the company plans to reinstate its referral incentive program that rewards employees who refer people who are eventually hired. It's also working with search firms and other recruiters. St. Louis, Seattle, Albuquerque, and Dallas are some of the cities where HBC will be advertising. A design of a runway which overcame complicated environmental challenges in Florida has received the General Aviation Airport Project of the Year Award from the Southeast Chapter of the American Association of Airport Executives. St. Lucie County International Airport's runway 10 left 28 right is a new 4,000-foot parallel runway located on a 161-acre tract with lots of wooded and wetland areas. The project's adherence to deadline, budget, and quality qualified it for the award, which is being touted as a significant achievement by St. Lucie County and its staff, consultant PBS&J, and contractor Dickerson Florida, Incorporated. And finally, the carrier landing variant of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter is undergoing drop testing at the Vought Aircraft Facility in Dallas, Texas. This important phase of testing is required to make sure that when 46,000 pounds of jet hits the deck at 138 knots, everything will hold together. The tests involve a fuselage suspended in a harness just below the rafters of the test facility. A bundle of instruments sends 512 channels of data on strain, acceleration, deflection, and loads to recording equipment for analysis. High-speed video, taken at 2,000 frames per second, is also recorded for each landing gear and can later be synced up to the data streams. There will be about 53 landing gear drop tests at various aircraft roll, pitch, and landing sync rates performed on this one jet, some with dummy ordnance attached to simulate full landing weight. The first F-35 carrier variant is expected to make its first flight before the end of June. Drop testing a carrier-based aircraft? Doesn't that pretty much describe its entire life? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hanai of Flyers writes, can't help but notice that the start of the DOT's new rules regarding tarmac strandings hasn't been the apocalypse the airlines predicted. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.